Nimon Khan, case 40. When Isan was with Hyakujo's assembly, he was cook of the monastery. Hyakujo wanted to choose a founding teacher for Mount Dai-i. He invited all his monks to make a presentation, saying, "The outstanding one will be sent." Then he took a water bottle and set it on the floor, saying, "You may not call this a water bottle. What do you call it?" The head monk said, "It cannot be called a wooden slipper." Hyakujo then asked Isan his opinion. Isan kicked over the water bottle with his foot and walked out. Hyakujo laughed and said, "Isan has defeated the head monk." Isan thereupon was made founding teacher at Mount Dai-i. Mumon's comment: though Isan was altogether valiant, he could not leap out of Hyakujo's trap. With careful examination of what happened next, you will see that he accepted the heavy and rejected the light. How? Removing his sweatband, he shouldered an iron yoke. Mumon's verse: tossing bamboo baskets and ladles away, he swept all hindrances before him. Hyakujo's severe barrier cannot interrupt his rush. Thousands of Buddhas come forth from his toes. Hyakujo appeared once earlier in the Mumon Khan in case 2, the well-known story of Hyakujo's fox with its questions about karma and rebirth. He was a 9th and 10th century teacher, student of Basso, and a great-grandson in the Dharma of Huainon, the 6th founding teacher. Just at his time, Zen Buddhism or Chan Buddhism was flowering in Tang, China. His teacher, Basso, had 82 Dharma successors. Earlier than that, maybe the record was about 4. On the other side of the lineage chart, Huainong had 2 important disciples. Basso and Hyakujo descended from one side, and Toksan and Seppo and Unmon and so on descended from the other side. At Hyakujo's level was Yakusan, who also had a great many Dharma successors. So Zen was truly flourishing at this time. Hyakujo is credited with founding the monastic system of Zen. Zen Buddhism had previously been included among teachings at large monasteries. and did not have its own system. It was Hyakujo who established this system, and we use elements of that very system in our schedule and procedures. He is especially remembered as encouraging samu, or work, as an essential element of Zen practice. A day of no work is a day of no eating, was his saying. He lived to be very old, passing away finally at the age of 95. I said that he was 9th and 10th century, but it's really 8th and 9th century AD. He died in 814 AD, just about 100 years after Huainan. His son, Reiyu, who lived from 770 to 853, is co-founder of the Igyo school of Tangzen. He became a monk at the age of 15 and began Zen study with Hyakujo when he was 24. One day, or one night, he was sitting up late in the dark and was accosted by Hyakujo, who came into the room. Hyakujo asked, "Who is that sitting there in the dark?" And Issan said, "It's Reiyu, Roshi." "Rake up the hearth," said Hyakujo. So Issan went to the hearth and searched for live coal. "The fire has gone out," he said. Hyakujo then took up the tongs, and deep in the ashes, he found a small live ember. Holding it up, he said, "What is this?" And with this, Issan found his own fire and was deeply enlightened. He remained with Hyakujo, and at the time of our story, he was tenzo, or cook of the monastery, a very responsible position. A friend of Hyakujo, who was a kind of geomancer and soothsayer, came to see Hyakujo and reported that he had found a very good mountain which would be suitable for a Zen monastery. The layout was just right, and the other mountains about were in proportion and in appropriate directions. It was a high mountain, but flat on top, with a good place for building. He urged Hyakujo to send someone there. "How about me?" said Hyakujo. "No," said the soothsayer. "You're too little and dried up." "This is a broad mountain and needs someone large and vigorous to handle it." Just then, the head monk came in. So Hyakujo said, "How about him?" And so the soothsayer looked at him and said, "Cough." So the head monk coughed. "No, won't do," said the soothsayer. "This isn't fair," said the head monk. I think you should have a more equitable way of choosing." So that is how the contest came about. Probably Hyakujo already knew. that Ihsan might be chosen. For in fact, Ihsan went by in the hall while these folks were talking, and the soothsayer looked at him and said, "Oh, he might be a good one." and that's when the head monk objected. Anyway, to keep the peace, he followed the head monk's suggestion and set a water bottle on the floor. There was no running water in the monasteries, and indeed, it's the rare monastery that has running water to this day. Those in the cities have them. Ryutakuji has now, but once it had running water only in the guest toilets. Bathrooms, that is to say. Anyway, he set up on the floor and said, "You may not call this a water bottle. What do you call it?" Hyakujo liked this kind of koan. In the Hekiganroku, there are three koans which he asks his attendants one by one. "How would you say something with your lips and throat closed?" These are koans similar to the one about the water bottle, though not the same. The head monk stepped forward and said, "It cannot be called a wooden slipper, that is, a geta, you know, one of a pair of clogs." The Chinese ideograph here is extremely obscure, and some translators render the head monk's reply as, "It cannot be called a stump." But it really doesn't matter what it can't be called. Yamada Roshi says about this response that it is not too bad. The head monk was free of names and concepts to some degree. But, as the Roshi goes on to say, he is not free of thinking. His mind is still bound by the dyadic computer of the human cortex. It is not such and such. A male is not a female. True enough. Once, when our son was little, I asked him, "Suppose you couldn't say your name is Tom, how would you call yourself?" He said, "That's a very difficult question." When I told that story at the Maui Zendo, one of our members was inspired to go home and ask his five-year-old son, "Suppose you couldn't say your name is Misha, how would you call yourself?" And Misha said, "A tree." So he's better than Tom, I think. Anyway, without showing his reaction, Hyakujo turned to Ihsan. Ihsan stepped forward and tipped over the water bottle with his foot and went out. This is a very popular subject among Zen painters. And I have a copy of Genpo Roshi's Momonkan with a painting of this scene in the end papers. And Ihsan is shown punting that that water bottle across the room. But you know, one of the more interesting pictures is found in Blythe's Momonkan. I've forgotten the name of the artist. But there is the water bottle lying on its side, and there is the back of Isan going out the door. And Hyakujo is looking very pleased, and the other monks are looking astonished. Is that walking out is also a very important point. The head monk loses, Hyakujo says, and Isan was thereupon made founder of the monastery at Mount Dai'i. Well, what do you make of this? Of course, Isan was responding directly within the challenge of Hyakujo's demand. And at the same time, he was completely free. There was not only freedom from words in his mind, there was complete freedom from all relative thought. His mind was totally empty, and therefore he could act with vigorous appropriateness, with no self-centeredness at all. His essential being took essential action. And the complication of the water bottle and its name was shattered forever. That might be an appropriate response too, you know. Well, now suppose you were the head monk. I imagine some of you are thinking about that head monk. How would you respond to Hyakujo's laughter? This is not a koan point, but it is nonetheless a koan. Not unlike Joshu examining the hermits in case 11 of this Mumonkan, when you examine that koan from a psychological point of view. Would the mind of the head monk be tuned to his inadequacy or to the context of the situation? I think that if that head monk was worthy of his post in such a great assembly, he would respond by clapping his hands with Hyakujo, crying out, "Well done, well done." There would not be a trace of regret or self-recrimination on his part. We hope. Sometimes a student will come to me and make a presentation that is not quite right. I will shake my head and send him or her back to the dojo. Instead of working more deeply on the koan, the student might sit there and stew about personal adequacy. So next time the response is worse, and I shake my head more vigorously, a negative cycle can be set up in this way, and a neat little koan completely obscured. This is too bad. It is the point within whatever context that must be met. Brooding about outside matters is a diversion of energy. Self-pity, anger, and all sorts of other negative emotions are aroused and indulged. Zazen is like daily life. It works when your eye is on the task. Though Isan was altogether valiant, Mumon says, he could not leap out of Hyakujo's trap. Shakuja was trapping him as founder of Mount Dai-i. Not only could he not leap out, he booted himself right into it. With a careful examination of what happened next, you will see that he accepted the heavy and rejected the light. How? Removing his sweatband, he shouldered an iron yoke, removing the light responsibility of cooking for a large monastery. He accepted the iron yoke of responsibility of teaching others how to realize their essential nature. A heavy matter indeed. What is ni? It is an exclamation that frightens away demons and dragons. The ideograph for ni is sometimes posted on the gate or near the gate of a Shinto shrine. Well, anyway, what happened next? At the top of Dai-i, Issan built a hermitage of branches and mud. He ate roots and berries and made friends with the animals. But 3 years passed and no one came. Finally, he said to himself, "This doesn't make sense. I am supposed to be founding a great monastery, but here I am, all by myself, in a miserable hut of branches and mud, talking to animals and birds. I'm going back to civilization where I can do some good." Packing his gear, he started down the mountain, but on the path, he met a great tiger. "Well," he said to himself, "this tiger seems to be telling me something." So he turned around and went back to his hut. Sure enough, soon after that, a monk appeared to join him, and then more came. Finally, with imperial assistance, he was able to build a great temple. With the fire he discovered within himself as a young monk, he established with his disciple Kyozan one of the five important schools of Tang Zen. Tossing bamboo baskets and ladles away, he swept all, let's see, how did I translate that? He swept all hindrances before him. Tossing his cooking implements away, tossing away names, tossing away all relative thought, his essential fire burned up everything. Like a flamethrower, his one boot of the water bottle destroyed all the weeds of delusion everywhere. Hyakujo's barrier could not interrupt his rush, his severe barrier. As complicated as Hyakujo's injunction might seem, you may not call this a water bottle. What do you call it? Issan was completely the master. As Kyosei Zenji says in another connection, to attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard. With that one boot, Issan expressed his bare substance. Nothing at all was sticking to it. Thousands of Buddhas come forth from the tips of his toes. Well, I used to just hold up this line for students' appreciation of Mumon's delightful Zen humor. But my senior student, Nelson Foster, who goes to Rangar Bonzendo, is asking students now, how do you show this in your daily life? Thousands of Buddhas come forth from his toes. So it has become a koan in our tradition. Thank you.